H. Brand Ayers, Brandy to his friends, has been publisher of the family-owned Anniston Star since returning home from Washington, D.C. and taking over from his father, Colonel Harry Ayers, in 1963. Now 78 years old, Ayers has published his memoirs. In Love with Defeat runs along two parallel tracks. First, it is an autobiography, a richly anecdotal look at Alabama's last half century. He tells of growing up in segregated Anniston, attending local schools, and then the Wooster School in Danbury, Connecticut, class of 1949. He attended Wooster partly because others, such as Andover or Lawrenceville, would have, quote, put him back a year or two, end quote. Ayers learned early there were differences between North and South that could only be learned by experiencing the North. After Wooster, Ayers took a B.A. in history at UA, interrupted by 2 years in the Navy, since he had also been majoring in fraternity life. Ayers met and in 1961 married Josephine Eringhouse, granddaughter of a North Carolina governor. During an exciting and educational journalistic apprenticeship in Raleigh, Ayers saw North Carolina up close and Alabama at an objective distance, and the differences between the two southern states is a major structuring device for his book. As Ayers watched, Carolina moved forward, integrated rather calmly, elected New South governors like Terry Sanford, and broke ground for the Research Triangle. Alabama resisted the tide of history in Birmingham and Selma, and indeed in Anniston, kept George Wallace as governor even when a progressive such as Albert Brewer was available, and drove moderates like Carl Elliott from office. In what must have been painful sections to write, Ayers tells of his own father's dilemma. A decent and fair-minded man, he opposed the Dixiecrats and espoused voting rights for blacks, but could not escape a lifelong belief in segregation. The other controlling arc of Ayers' book is what he calls the death of one civilization, the Old South, and then the birth, brief life, and sadly the death of its successor, the New South. Ayers argues that we are now living in a new South, or a post-New South. For a while, it appeared the Confederacy, now extolled as the Sun Belt, would join the rest of the country. The nation elected Jimmy Carter, racial conditions improved dramatically, prosperity was spreading, and cities like Atlanta, too busy to hate, were booming. But, Ayers says, most of this was later lost. White flight to places like Shelby County has impoverished and segregated the cities. The establishment of academies has resegregated the public schools. We are back to a one-party political system, and the Red South is now, as a unit, again starkly separate politically from most of the rest of the Blue Country. We have, in a sense, become a new Old South. There is more here than lamentation, however. Ayers writes of the citizens who bravely kept violence in Anniston to a minimum, his own participation in regional and national endeavors, such as the progressive LQC Lamar Society, his wife's organizing of the original Shakespeare Festival, since spirited off to Montgomery. There is a little name-dropping, but after all, Ayers has in fact given advice to Carters and Clintons and has slept in the Lincoln bedroom, and as a major independent publisher, known and rubbed elbows with many powerful folk of the last half century.